Thank you, Ange. What a great day. Hasn't been exciting to hear the progress at Tamaini. Thank you to Dave and Loey. We've been following that progress for some time. Really touching to see that the fruit of that labour is starting to be seen in the lives of the young ones who are now growing up, and who knows where that's going to take us. Always exciting to hear that, and what a great opportunity to dedicate these little guys to God this morning. Great day. I wonder, how did you respond to news this week that Harry and Meghan are expecting their second child? Oh, you haven't heard. Okay. Let me tell how I came across this exciting piece of news. Loris and I were sitting in a fish and chip shop this week waiting for our order, and there on the bench was the latest edition of a popular glossy magazine. Harry and Meghan were on the front cover, and the big headline said, "Harry and Meghan pregnant again." So, of course, we had to check out the article inside. It turns out that Harry and Meghan aren't really pregnant yet. But at the ripe old age of 38, Meghan doesn't want to wait too long before extending their family. Was that a bit misleading, do you think? It's probably just as well that we don't take the headline literally, because Harry and Meghan have actually split. It's true. Right alongside that magazine was another one, a rival, with another front cover picture of Harry and Meghan with the headline, "Harry and Meghan Split." Now, we'd just been caught once, so we decided to check this out too while we waited for our fish and chips. It turns out they have actually split from the charity that they have sponsored jointly with Will and Kate in order to be able to concentrate their efforts on another charity that they support. I have to say I was disappointed. I mean, if we can't trust New Idea and Women's Weekly to tell us the truth, who can we trust? I actually feel sorry for our young royals. Imagine the pressure that they must be under with the media spotlight on them all the time, and the cameras there are just waiting for them to slip up. And there are those eager publishers always ready to exploit them for a story. No wonder they crave their privacy and try to shield their children as best they can. It isn't only royal families under pressure these days, of course, and not necessarily from the media, but from the stresses of everyday living. There are work pressures, financial pressures, and the big one that feeds off and into these other two, time pressures. Especially when your family includes little children or teenagers. And for those of us who are past having children or teenagers at home with us and can still remember a different era, it seems that society itself is under pressure these days. Now, the good old days probably weren't all that good, but issues like crime, drug use, homelessness, youth suicide and domestic violence seem to have been escalating in recent times dramatically. This morning, I am glad of this opportunity to speak about the importance of family. I'm often frustrated that society often fails to identify family breakdown as a huge underlying factor in these other problems, or that building stronger families can effectively lessen the impact or short-circuit some of these processes that cause them. And I want to say that I approach our topic this morning a little cautiously. I know some of you carry hurts and disappointments from family issues, some long in the past and some of them ongoing. The last thing I want to do this morning is to reopen old wounds or rub salt into those wounds still raw. But I do want to highlight the importance of the family this morning and in its many different forms on this significant day for Cain and Natalie and their family. So let's talk firstly about building something precious. The story of Solomon building that magnificent temple for God in Jerusalem caught my imagination when I read it again in 1 Chronicles recently. And I've always known that the temple was dear to David's heart. The temple was dear. Come on, Peg, get with it. We're filling these outlines in this morning. The temple was dear to David's heart. God had been good to David. He'd blessed him in so many ways. Now David wanted to acknowledge this by building a place of worship where the people could come and meet with God. And God said no, as he sometimes does. David had been a man of war. He had blood on his hands. God acknowledged that David's motivations were honourable, but he wasn't the one to build the temple. That honour would go to his son Solomon. I'd always known that. What I didn't realise, or maybe I'd forgotten, was just how much care and attention and provision David, now an old man, put into making sure that Solomon had everything he needed for the temple. David would not build it. He wouldn't even get to see this beautiful temple when it was completed. But he would do everything in his power to make sure the son he loved succeeded in creating that which he was unable to do personally. That grabbed my attention and caught my imagination. It was a costly exercise. You don't build temples cheaply, apparently. As king of Israel, David had vast resources at his disposal. He made these available for the temple. But in chapter 29, we read that David also set aside his own personal wealth for the task. One translation states that David contributed personally 220,000 pounds of pure gold, 520,000 pounds of silver. According to my calculations, that values the gold alone that David gave by today's prices at around $45 billion. I'm not sure about my maths these days. You can check that out later. I reckon gold's probably around $1,300 an ounce. How many ounces are there in a pound? 16. Okay, some of you still remember. Check it out. All of this would make a good introduction to an appeal for our building fund. That's not where I'm going this morning, not today. Jesus told a story once about two builders and their buildings, and he used them as a metaphor to make his point. I want to follow his example this morning. As parents and grandparents and members of our church family, we want to see our children building something precious in their lives. We can't build it for them. We may not be around long enough to see the finished product, but we can help supply the materials they will use. Of all the things that we see in our children and grandchildren as they grow, the things that really stand out for me centre around faith and family. They centre around faith and family. Got that one. Well done. From the moment we first heard their cry in the delivery room, as we watched them grow through their childhood years, we wanted our boys and girls to grow to be men and women of faith. We wanted them to take their places in our family firstly, and ultimately marry good and godly wives and husbands and form families of their own. Am I just old-fashioned? Or do our young parents today share that desire? Two very different questions there. Yes, we may also want them to do well at school, get a good job, barrack for the right football team. But those things are secondary, way behind the desire that our children become men and women of faith, happy and secure in their families. So, following David's example, what of lasting value can we give our children to help them build their lives when we're no longer around? Let's talk for a moment about providing for our children. David gave Solomon gold. We can introduce our children to God as the foundation stone. If you have some spare gold, I'm sure your children would appreciate that too. But we can give them God as the foundation stone. Jesus taught us that the secret to a lasting and satisfying life is to build our life on a solid foundation. That's a great metaphor. A building, any building, is only as strong as its foundation. In the story Jesus told, both buildings were subject to the elements. And we know from personal experience that Christians are not immune from the storms of life that assault us all. These storms can take many forms. I'm sure you could tell me about the various storms that you've encountered at times in your life. You could also tell me how your faith has helped you withstand them and emerge from them, maybe not completely unscathed, but with your faith intact, often enlarged and strengthened by your experience. Surely we want to give this faith to our children. We do this when we make God central in our own lives, by allowing him to shape our worldview, by allowing our children to see that everything, our goals, our desires, our priorities, the way we treat others, flow from our relationship with him. David gave Solomon huge quantities of silver. We can provide our children with safety, security and stability. Safety, security and stability. Our children need these in their lives, especially when they are young, and they thrive under these conditions. Many years ago now, Loris came home with a very sad story after teaching a grade 1 RE class. A little girl had come up to her at the end of the class with tears in her eyes. Loris could see that she was struggling, and she didn't want to use the word divorce in case that wasn't what the girl was trying to say, but it was. I'm sure her parents were trying to be mature about it all, but they told her that they were going their separate ways, and she could choose which one of them she was going to live with. I know these things happen, and it's never easy. But a 6 or 7 year old is not equipped to handle decisions like that. I look at our own little kids running around after church, carefree and having a good time and playing with the drums. That's what childhood is supposed to be like. Our homes must be places of safety, security and stability so that our children can thrive. We can give this to our children when they are young, and the benefits that they gain will stay with them throughout their lives. Initially, we were a little disappointed that the day Dave and Lowy could come and talk to us about Tamani coincided with the day that we'd set aside to dedicate Roxas, Noel and Vanille. We really didn't want to rush either of these important events. But there are some parallels, aren't there? What a great opportunity that we have through sponsorship to provide some other young children the safety, security and stability they need to grow and thrive and to discover God as the foundation of their lives too. Maybe some of these little kids that we sponsor over there will end up being leaders in their own community, maybe leaders in their country. What an opportunity. David gave Solomon gold and silver, and I thought I was doing really well. I found God as the foundation stone for the gold and all those S words for silver. And then I came to bronze, and I thought about brains and beauty, but some of us may struggle to pass these on to our children. So I abandoned my plans for a clever outline this morning, and I went with something more basic and far more important than brains or beauty. David gave Solomon bronze for the temple. We can give our children love. What can I say about love this morning in just a few minutes? Our kids need love. We all do. And let's be honest, there are no perfect parents. And while I see some great things in our church families today, I doubt that any of our parents are doing it perfectly. Peter writes, above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. If our children are loved and they know it, they'll cope with our flaws and our failures. And John writes, this is love. We sang about it in that song earlier, didn't we? This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God, our Father, loves us and he shows us. He is our example and the one who provides us with the love that we have to give to our families. David also provided the iron that Solomon used in the temple. We can give our children solid role models. We can give them solid role models. We kid ourselves if we think that we can sit our children down and give them a verbal lesson on values and standards and morality and behaviour. They'll learn most of these things by living with us and watching us. We will be role models. We get to choose whether this is positive or detrimental to our children's development. Fathers, if we want our daughters to meet and marry men who will look after them and treat them the way we want them to be treated, they learn what to expect by watching how we treat their mothers and them. Our sons learn how to be men in much the same way. Surely the absence of good role models in the home, especially fathers, I have to say, is a major contributor to the many problems we see in society. I suspect our women do it better, but not perfectly. Our children learn so much about behaviour and attitudes and values and priorities from what they see and hear from us. What an opportunity then we have to be positive influences in our children's lives. David also provided Solomon with all kinds of precious stones in large quantities for the magnificent temple that he was going to build. We can give our children a Christian community. We can give them a Christian community. Our children will find role models outside the home. They'll find their best role models in the church. And this is going to be an ongoing experience for them. Unless you happen to be the oldest person in the church, there will be someone a little further along the journey from you. Of course, it only works, or it works best, if you're here regularly. How can you find a role model or be a role model for others if you're hardly ever here? Perhaps I could paraphrase, I think it was the late President Kennedy who almost said, ask not what your church can do for you, ask what you can do for your church. We can be role models for others. Isolation and loneliness are huge problems for many in a busy and often uncaring world. God has created us for community, and he has given us community through the church and through the many precious gems that we find here. We've dedicated Roxas, Noel and Vaniel to God this morning, and I want to affirm Cain and Natalie in their decision to bring their children here today and effectively to give them back to God. Well done, guys. The Bible, through passages like our verse from Proverbs this morning, affirms the value and importance of starting early. Start children off on the way they should go, we read, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. That's a principle, of course. It's not an ironclad guarantee. And it's an investment that pays dividends. One of the real joys of my role here and the many years that I've been here now has been to see this principle worked out in practice. We've watched as we've dedicated as little children. I'll look at that again. We've watched as those we've dedicated as little children have grown up through childhood and their teenage years, secure in their faith, It was great to help Emma celebrate her 18th birthday last night and to see that in practice. We've seen them complete their secondary years and some of them go off to uni while some find jobs locally. We're always delighted when some find their way back here and we get to see the cycle continue. Some of our young people marry and start families of their own, sometimes three at a time. Some serve God in a variety of ways. All of them remind us of the value of what we've done here today. It cost David big time to provide the materials for Solomon to build the temple. It costs us today to give our children the resources that will enable them to build their lives into the future. It's a great investment. David obviously had great wealth, but even his resources were finite. In the same way, there are limits to our resources today. And I want to finish by considering the importance of time. The importance of time. We don't hear it quite so much these days, but some time ago it seemed fashionable to talk about quality time. You know, often this sounded like a cop-out. I don't have much time to give you, but it's quality time. David gave Solomon some quality materials so that he could build the temple, and he gave vast quantities of them. Time, unlike wealth, is distributed evenly. We all get 24 hours, no more, no less, in every day. Then we get to choose how we allocate them. Raising a family, building a strong family, requires a substantial allocation of time. I understand that it's a juggle, especially for those with children who are young. I remember reading once a rather grim reflection. It said, nobody on his deathbed ever wished he'd spent more time with his business. If you're struggling with the juggling this morning, maybe you're trying to keep too many balls in the air at once. Can you put one down? Whatever you do, don't drop the one marked family. If there's one area, and I'm sure there's more than one, where the Christian community can give a lead to our society, it's in this area of building stronger families. It will cost us time and other resources, I'm sure. Is anything more important? Let's pray. Father, as we've been doing throughout this service, we give you thanks for families. Thank you for designing them. Thank you for modelling before us the importance of generations and of the love that binds our families together. Father, we thank you once more for the families represented here this morning, each with their own unique circumstances and some of the difficulties that they face. Bless them, strengthen them, we pray, and as a family ourselves, may we as a church love and support our families and provide those role models which will help them to pass that precious faith down from generation to generation in the way that it has come to us. Bless us this morning as we go from here and strengthen us as families and as witnesses to our community. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And we